Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to St. Charles River Church. Well, obviously, you know by now, again, that we have had a Sunday where the weather wasn't right. It is not good to be outside, and it's not good to be out on the roads, potentially. And so this morning, I want to thank you for joining us on the broadcast. Most of you that attend SCRC, St. Charles River Church, you have heard by now that service on site has been called off, but we are always going to be online. That's exciting until Jesus comes. Now, I promise you, the Sunday after Jesus comes, we won't be online, but I will promise this. It will be the fullest, I believe this with all of my heart, around the world, it will be the fullest church buildings will be the Sunday after the return of Jesus Christ. I pray you don't stick around to see that, but that is what I believe will actually take place on the day after Christ returns. I believe you'll start seeing churches, people looking for answers, because there's a lot of people missing from the rapture of the church. We're looking forward to that great day of His appearing. But until then, thank you for joining us this morning. Wherever you're at watching this broadcast, thank you for joining us this morning. I don't know what your weather is like, but in St. Louis metro area, it's not good. And so we just deemed it would be the safest for everyone to just stay at home, and which is going to be a unique thing, because I want to talk to you about that staying home thing today. It's actually kind of a unique situation. Here I'm saying stay at home today, but I want to talk with you about that in just a little bit. And so before we get started, let's pray and get right on into the message. You ready to go? Okay. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege of coming before you this morning with the body of St. Charles River Church and all of our extended family, no matter where they're watching this broadcast from. Thank you that they have joined us. Thank you for imparting words that you want said. We believe prophetically into the hearts of the body of Christ this morning. And we come before you and simply say, go before us, Father, in the name of Jesus, and you make these words become alive in people's hearts and in our spirits today, because it is from your word. It is your word, and you are the word. In the name of Jesus Christ, I thank you, Lord. Amen. Listen, I hope by now, this is just kind of what I'm hoping for you there in your home. If you're in the St. Louis area and you're experiencing this weather, I hope you've, if you got a fireplace, I hope you lit the fireplace, got it all ready to go, got your coffee, got your hot tea, got all your juices and everything. Maybe you've already had breakfast and you're ready, I hope, to get into the Word. If you are, I'm going to invite you to join me. Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to the book of Job, chapter 1. And I'm going to start about verse 6, okay? Job chapter 1, verse 6. I just want to just share with you today's message. If you're taking notes, just put on the top kind of the heading of, I am blessed. I am blessed. Now, no one would ever imagine the title of a message with the book of Job being, I am blessed. Because how in the world can you have everybody turn to the book of Job and teach on, I am blessed? So I want you to do that. Jump in. We're going to go about right now to verse 6. We're going to go to about verse 12. And I will just want to invite you to join me on the journey. Here we go. One day, verse 6. One day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord. Now, if you don't know the story of Job, I'm not going to tell you the whole story, but I'm not going to read the whole thing. It's not that long. But what I really want you to grab is just kind of the condition that God allowed him to go through in this amazing story of tragedy upon a godly, and I mean amazingly godly man. It says, one day the angels came before, came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. In that day, there's a certain amount of access, apparently, that the enemy has before God. God still allows access of conversation between Satan and between himself. And so on that day, the angels came to present themselves, and also Satan came with them because he was the fallen angel. If you remember, he's one of many. One third of the angels were kicked out of heaven. So the angels came and Satan presented himself with them. Next verse. The Lord said to Satan, where have you come from? I love conversation. Where'd you come from? And if you get the picture of the conversation, God knew exactly where he came from because God put him there. God removed him from the heavens as Lucifer, the head angel, removed him from the heavens, cast him down to the earth, told him, go down there. That's your realm, so to speak. Okay? So it says, where'd you come from? And Satan answered the Lord, well, kind of from roaming the earth, you know, kind of where you put me, paraphrasing here, kind of roaming the earth where you put me, going back and forth on it in verse 8. It says in verse 8, here we go. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? And by the way, this is God bringing up the subject of Job. This isn't Satan bringing up the subject of Job. This is God bringing up. Here's what he's doing. He is saying, have you noticed a righteous man? You got to remember this. Get the picture. Get the perspective. The angels are created just the same as man was created. God created the angels. That was part of his creation before the earth. Just the same, the angels were all a part of God's creation, including Lucifer, who Satan once was when he was in the heavens and was righteous. And God actually brings this up to him. Hey, have you considered the one that's righteous on the earth? God brings up the fact that he is the righteous one, and he says that to the one that once held the highest esteem in the heavens. He said, there's no one like him on the earth. He is blameless and upright. Everything that you once were is, in essence, what God is having this conversation. Everything you once were, he is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. And so this is a real conversation between righteousness and this evil side of Satan, which he is evil, the ultimate in evil. And so these two are having this great conversation, and goes on in verse 9. It goes on, this is Satan saying, he says, does Job fear God for nothing? Satan replied, verse 10. It says, goes on to say, if you had not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has, you have blessed the work of his hands so that his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land. Verse 11 goes on to say, here we go. Verse 11 is going to pull up. Computers are slow. But now stretch out your hand, strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. That's what Satan says to God. If you hadn't blessed him and protected him, and you actually strike him down, he'll curse your face. And then the Lord said to Satan, very well, then, everything he has is in your power. But the man himself, do not lay a finger on him. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. Get this picture. Everything Job had, God had given to him. God had multiplied the blessing of Job's life. He was a righteous man. His family lived a godly life. He was blessed. He was wealthy. He had land. He had cattle. He had all the blessings of a very wealthy, righteous man. And what Satan is saying to him is, yeah, well, the reason he doesn't curse you is simply because you've blessed him. And I want to talk to you about that status of blessing. The whole of the story is simply this, that Satan did go and he destroyed everything. Remember, God said you can't touch him, but you can, everything he has, you can take it. It's on you, Satan. And he did. He wiped out everything, including his family. And three of his closest friends came to him, if you read towards the end of the story, and they were saying, "You must have sinned. You must have sinned. You must, someone in your household sinned. Confess your sin." And Job kept saying, "I never sinned. No, no, no. No one in my household sinned." He knew this. He knew his father well enough to know that his father knew it would be a false confession if he confessed to sin. And he was honest before God. Now, he had several conversations with God as you read the story. But I'm going to tell you something. There was never a time that Job cursed God as Satan said he could get him to do. Why? Because he was blessed. And he knew that God had blessed him. He did not know why God had all of a sudden taken everything. That's what he thought, that God had taken everything from him that he once gave. But this is what he said: "I am blessed, and I will not confess my sin. I have not sinned against God." And those three friends are going one at a time, coming to him. Long chapters. Each friend that comes to him and says, You have certainly sinned against God. Do that and he'll repent of your sin and he'll remove those things from you. He'll restore things. He said, "I'm not going to confess it." And the long story is, he never changed his story along the way. "I am God's man. I am blessed and God is faithful to me." And I just want to talk with you just about that whole idea. If you think about it, you know, most of the time in the circles that we have, the conversations that we have, when people use the phrase, "I'm blessed," you know, oftentimes when I've heard people say that, and then they follow it with all the good things that are happening in their lives. And rarely do you hear a person say, "Oh, I am blessed." You cannot imagine the horrible things that are going on in my life today. I mean, rarely would you ever today hear somebody use that phrase, "I am blessed. I mean, I've been locked up with COVID for the last year. I am so blessed. I haven't seen my grandkids, you know, because of COVID-19. I am so blessed. I had COVID. Now, I'm not saying I had it. I'm just saying the person who's been through it. I know people that have been through it. Tragically, some have been through it and succumb to it. And yet they're gloriously with the Lord today. The Bible says all things work together for good for those that love God and are called according to his purpose. For the believer, there is no losing. For the believer, we always remain blessed. In the presence of God, when he says, "If God is for me, who can be against me?" If God is for me on my worst day of tragedy, on my worst day of tragedy, I am blessed. I mean, that's where Job was. On my worst day, I am blessed among men. There's this faithfulness to God. He was never going to let God be cursed, or he was never himself going to allow himself to stoop to a place where he didn't recognize that God was still his source and his resource, which, by the way, is the blessing. So many times, and I was referring to the conversations just a second ago, we hear people talk about the blessing. "Man, I am blessed. I'll tell you, my income has gone up for 30% over the last..." I've heard people say, and I love that, by the way. That is a blessing. Those are blessings. But that's not the blessing. The blessing is when I say, I am blessed because I walk with the Creator. That makes me blessed. We at some point need to turn the corner of this whole COVID thing, the COVID-19 thing, where fear is gripping us and angst is gripping us. Anxiety has actually frozen us in our homes because we're afraid of what it might do to us. We need to look COVID right in the eyes, stare it right in the eyes and declare, "I am blessed and I walked blessed. I run blessed. I go to work." If you're a person that goes to work, "I go to work blessed. I am blessed beyond measure because God said, 'I'll go before you. I'll make your path straight.'" Whether you got these two thugs behind you called goodness and mercy who will follow us all the days of our lives. By the way, I'm not saying you won't be sick. I'm not saying tragically there aren't those and won't be those who succumb to COVID-19. But I'm going to tell you something. I was looking at something just this morning. Excuse me if I come out of the picture here. But I was looking at some statistics today, and I just want to read these to you quickly. I just want to read these to you. I took some pictures of some things just before I came, actually, because I decided which ones I wanted to read to you. But let me just share with you. In 2019, there were 876 Missouri road deaths. Get this number. In 2019, when we were still very active before the pandemic hit, in 2019, there were 876 highway or road deaths in the state of Missouri. And yet we still get in an automobile. We still go out of our houses and we still get in an automobile and we drive to our destinations. Many drove in 2020 to a lot less miles because of the pandemic. But around Thanksgiving, people did travel the nation. Not as many as in the year before. That's why I went to the year before. 2019, 876 road deaths in the state of Missouri alone. And yet, you multiply that times 50 states. And yet people drive all over the United States in spite of the fact that there are chances, real chances. It's not just about your poor driving. It's about anybody around you who makes a wrong decision. I've used this phrase before with our kids as we were raising our girls. I said, it doesn't matter how great your driving is. You can be absolutely dead right in your driving. There was a little girl I can remember a few years ago, in a corner, not far from here, there's about 20 minutes from here. There's an intersection over in St. Louis County that on a main road, there's a stoplight there and just a small road crossing. And there was a Missouri State dump truck that was coming down full steam towards the light. He had a green that he could see. He had a green for a long time. There was another little girl that was actually in this road that was crossing, and she had the red light and she stopped, and she was right to stop. She was sitting there at the stoplight. This Missouri State truck, it was a dump truck full of asphalt, came down, barreling down through there. And it was a short yellow light and he couldn't stop the truck. He couldn't stop the truck. The little girl, though, she's sitting there not aware of everything that was around her, not aware of her surrounding. In fact, she had just picked up her prom dress in the shopping center that she had just left its parking lot, stopped there at the stoplight. And about the time she saw her green light, and she was right to go. She had the right to go. But because this state dump truck could not stop his load, he came barreling through that intersection, and tragically that little girl was killed. You can be dead right. There are tragedies that happen right and left, night and day, on the highways across the United States. And yet you and I still get in our cars and we still go places. We don't let the fear of what if take us down. There are other things in the United States. Listen to this. In 2019, there was 142,670 lung cancer deaths in the United States. And yet people smoke every day all around the world. Just in the United States, in 2019, 142,670 deaths from lung cancer. And we all know, if you believe what science has proven, let's go with science, smoking can cause cancer, lung cancer specifically. And yet there are people that don't let that stop them. There are people, hear me out today. Here, I believe this challenge of living the blessed life. I'm not just talking about the COVID-19 thing, but there are people today that are frozen in their homes. Get the logic here. They're frozen in their homes. They won't go to church on Sundays. And yet they smoke in their homes. And the statistics say you're killing yourself. I'm not talking about was preaching or is smoking a sin or not. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the health factor. And yet they go to Walmart. They go to Target. I said this a few weeks ago. Thy Facebook betrayeth thee. Of the inconsistencies in our lives. It's not just you. God knows we all have inconsistencies. And yet we go to Target, we go to Walmart, we go to the grocery store, we do all those things. And yet we're afraid to come to church. And I'm going to just be real with you. Because you see, the media has slammed the church of Jesus Christ as one of the worst places, inconsiderate places you can go. And I want you to know something. I just don't buy into that anymore. Now I believe especially churches are more aware ever than ever before about masking and social distancing and doing our best to use good judgment. But right now there are people that won't leave their homes for a Sunday morning service because they're afraid. It's the thing. And yet, you know, the whole idea is I want to be safe. I want to be safe. And yet we inconsistently go do things that we choose to do. And I'm going to be honest with you. I can't judge that. I can only say that somewhere along the line, you need to know something. You are blessed. You are blessed. You are blessed beyond measure. And I don't want, if you're an individual that's getting upset at me, I'm not saying whether it's your right and your responsibility. I know that about whether you go to a local church. And let me just say, if you're not SCRC family and you go to another church, you ought to listen to what I believe the Lord is challenging us here this morning with these words. The idea of let's be consistent in our decisions and realize something. We're blessed. We shouldn't be living in fear. The believer living in fear? Are you kidding? I mean, look at what Job went through. Look what Job, the test that Job went through. And yet he still declared that his God is faithful and he would trust God. 613 people in 2019 died in boat-related deaths across America. And yet every summer we got people by the hundreds of thousands pulling boats out and going out on the lake. Why? We know the risk. But because we know, listen to me, because we know the benefit to relationship and connection and joy being spending times with our family out on that lake far outweighs what the risk might be. Because you see, we realize something. That's valuable time together. And I've got stat after stat after stat after stat. In 2018, plane crash deaths rise in 2018. And yet every day, people go to airports around the world. Get the picture. They increased in 2018 dramatically. And yet we still go to airports. We still make decisions to get on airplanes. Listen to me now. We still decide to trust the pilots. We still decide that we're going to place faith in the pilots and the organization that they work for, that they are well trained for the very aircraft that they're flying that day. They didn't just stick someone in there that flew a Cessna one time and knows how to keep a plane level. These are fully trained for operational purposes, emergency operational purposes. We have faith in those guys. We have faith in the control tower people that as we go across the country and around the world, we believe that the control tower, as they hand us off from one to another, we believe that they are trained and they're going to get us where they said they're going to get us. We place our trust in men all of the time. And yet, when it comes to kingdom things, we have people that have checked out of church. And here's, I was talking with a pastor not long ago, in fact, a couple of pastors not long ago, good-sized churches in our area, and they were telling me that attendance is devastated. It's very devastated. And I know there are churches in certain states that are still locked down, which the Supreme Court had something to say about that just a couple of weeks ago or about a week ago. But these two pastors said our attendance is devastated. They said the sad part for them is watching a church that has hundreds, and I mean hundreds and hundreds, well over 800 to 1,000 people in one particular case, said we used to be a strong, vibrant church. Now we're a church that is full of believers that you can do church online. And I'm just being real with you. A lot of that was driven by fear. Because the truth is, months ago, and when this whole thing broke out, we didn't know about COVID-19. We didn't know what it could do. And there was a natural, I believe, and a healthy decision by leaders across America in churches to suspend on-site services because we cared about you. We cared about you. We made the decision at St. Charles River Church, for example. We cared about you. We did not know. In fact, I have one of the very pastors is sitting in this building right now, Pastor Gene Manis. I had this conversation with him back then. I believe it was March or late February of 2020. We had this conversation that we just did not know how safe it was or how dangerous it was. And this is what I likened it to. I'm going to come back to the blessed life here in just a minute. But this is what I likened it to. I said, you know, here's how I feel as a pastor. If I knew that there was a shooter loose in O'Fallon, Missouri, which is where we're located, if I knew there was a shooter loose in O'Fallon, Missouri, I would put out an emergency email that fast to every attender at St. Charles River Church, every person that could possibly be at that building, this building, that day. I would put out a memo. I'd put out everything I could from Facebook to Twitter to whatever we have. And it would say this: do not leave your homes today. Remain in your homes until this shooter is captured, and because he's just going throughout the community randomly shooting. And that's kind of what I likened COVID-19 to back last year when this whole thing broke out. We all took a fairly conservative stand with the idea of safety for you and for our own families. And as things begin to be revealed, and I'm not talking about political things, I don't get into that. I'm talking about the fact that we could safely gather. We really could safely gather in the safest manner possible, with social distancing, with masks. And now we're even hearing some level of double masking by the CDC recommendation. I don't know about all that, but I know we're masking. And I know when we're coming in here, we are doing what we can do to provide the safest. There's no such thing as safe. Remember, 5 weeks, 6 weeks ago, I taught on the fact that safety left the garden back in the garden. Safety left after the fall of man. Today, what we want to provide to you and most pastors and churches is the safest environment possible. Now, let's go back to the idea that you're blessed. If you're blessed, you're not blessed because nothing ever goes wrong. You're not blessed because you never do get sick. I mean, those are blessings. You're not sick because there's never a tragedy. You're blessed because you walk with the Master. You're blessed because even in death, you win. Because the Bible says to be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. There are people today, God bless families. I mean that with all the sincerity. I lost a brother-in-law to COVID-19 back in December. I lost a brother-in-law to COVID-19. But he is with the Lord today. And he was quoting, on his way out of this world, he was quoting, to be absent with the body is to be present with the Lord. And he was quoting Paul in one of his farewell letters. He was quoting him to be absent. He said that to his wife: my sister, be faithful in your walk with God. As he was leaving this world, be faithful. Why? Because you're blessed. And David knew he was blessed, because when he leaves this world, he will see his family again, but he's going to see the Master. You see, we win. No matter how this goes, we win. And I'm not saying be careless. If you're hearing me say that, because I know there's the giver and then there's the receiver of information. And if you're hearing me say, be careless, that's not what I said. I said, be faithful. That's what I'm saying. Be faithful. Be faithful. Be full of faith. The Bible says that we can trust in Him. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. I just read this last week. And lean not, or 2 weeks ago, and lean not on your own understanding. Remember when I had Sean standing here, the husky Sean? I mean, that dude's, he got a body on him, you know. He built. And I was leaning against him. I was making myself vulnerable. That's what Job did in the story of Job. He leaned on God, where if God failed him, he would fall and die. And he leaned on God. And that's what I was doing with Sean. I was displaying the idea of making yourself completely in trusting God, making yourself vulnerable. Because you see, you're blessed. Because the one you're leaning on, he's the one who said this. He said, I'll never fail you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Not ever. You see, you can trust God. You are blessed. It doesn't, I know if you're going through sickness, if you're going through pain, it matters to you. Believe me, it doesn't matter to the ones who aren't hurting, right? Well, here's the truth. No matter what, you are blessed beyond measure. And I'm just going to just say this. Our children will never know what an overcomer looks like unless a parent or a grandparent begins to model what it is to overcome. The Bible says, I am an overcomer. I am more than a conqueror in Jesus Christ. Here's the truth. The Word says that because there's something that needs to be conquered. When the Word says, I am more than a conqueror, I am an overcomer, there's something that needs to be overcome. And by the way, God's promise is this. He is the everlasting Father. He will help you overcome. He will provide tools for you to overcome. He said, the Bible says, this is the faith the size of the seed of a mustard seed can move a mountain. Why? Because there's mountains that need to be removed. And the greatest mountain is fear. And my concern, look at me. Just from, if you haven't already turned this thing off, if you already haven't got mad at me and turned it off, this is not a political thing. This is not a, oh, here's my right. This is not a right thing. This is not a left thing. This is a God thing. You are blessed beyond measure. And the enemy doesn't want you to know that. And he rather, the way he keeps you from knowing that you're blessed beyond measure is he places these opportunities of fear. And that's what he was trying to do with Job. He was placing opportunities of fear where he wouldn't trust God, where he would curse God. In fact, he tried to prophesy. Can you imagine? The enemy, Satan, the evil one, tries to prophesy. As though he operates with all knowledge. He has no all knowledge. Only God has all knowledge. He was guessing. He was daring God. I can get him to curse you if you remove your blessing off of him. God said, here's the deal. You can take everything he's got, but you can't take him away from me. You got your hand, you got that? You can't lay a hand on him because he's mine. And can I tell you something? That's where God is with you. That's where God is with you. God is your everlasting Father. He said he's going to go with you until the end. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. And we all know we leave this world. Unless it's the rapture of the church, none of us get out of this world alive. That's just the truth. But Satan's got us afraid. He's got us, the church of Jesus Christ, which should be the overcoming example. In our homes. He's got the church afraid to go out, frozen to go out. By the way, I still see him in Walmart. Get the picture. Please don't be angry with me. I love you so much. I'm going to tell you the truth. People talk about, you know, pastors that preach to the itching ears. I've been accused of that about hundreds of times. But I don't know who wants to hear this or doesn't want to hear this. If you haven't turned the set off yet, though, the broadcast off, I'm wanting to speak truth to you and freedom to you as much as possible this morning. You are blessed beyond measure. You are the heartbeat of God. He loves you. And the idea that fear would cause you to make decisions to stay away from His kingdom and to actually cause you to buy into the idea that we can actually do church online. Can I tell you something? As much as I appreciate you watching this broadcast right now, and I do, I value it beyond words. And I really mean that with all of my heart. I value it beyond words. But this is not doing church. Hello. This is not doing church. This is watching a teaching. This is watching a worship setting. Now, let me tell you something. If you're doing church in your home, that is doing church. That is doing church. Somebody said not long ago, I've been accused of this for about 34 years now. Something like that. People say, well, I'm not being fed. Listen, if you're waiting till Sunday to get actually into God's Word, you are starving yourself to death and you want 30 minutes of God's Word to feed you. I want to dare you something. Today, eat for 30 minutes and don't eat until next Sunday. I'm going to dare you. No, don't get mad. I sense you're getting ready to turn the broadcast off. Don't do that. Listen to truth here. Go ahead and you would never consider doing that. You would look at me and say, that's absurd. You know we're not going to do that. And yet believers come to church. They might even bring a Bible. They might even look it up on their cell phone, their smartphone, which is much smarter than me, by the way. They might do that for 30 minutes. And then they walk out and within 30 minutes, can't even tell you what was taught that day. And they're not in the Word the rest of the week. And yet they proclaim, I'm not being fed at church. What would your mama say to you if your mama fixed the meal and you're a teenager and you're sitting there, your mama, when you was a baby, your mother fed you. That's what mamas do. They nurture us. They nurture us along. But what would your mama do? Come on. What would your mama do as a teenager if she fixed that, those green beans and the corn and the mashed potatoes and the fried chicken and put that knife and that fork and that spoon and that plate and that glass of milk or iced tea, whatever it is that you drink? What would your mama do if she put all that in front of you, made the opportunity for you to go ahead and feed yourself, and we didn't feed ourselves? We sat there and said, Mom, that chicken's not hopping in my mouth. All right, Mom, you need to pull the chicken off the bone and put it, you need to feed. You know what your mama would do? Well, each mama would do something different, but mamas get the point across, and grandmas even get the point across more, because grandma's got a whole lot more experience about how to trick a child into eating when they didn't think they were going to eat that day. I've seen it. But here's the truth. If you're depending on one 30-minute service, whether you're watching on a broadcast or you're actually live in this auditorium, if you're depending on 30 minutes, I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to live a blessed life. There's truth. There's truth. You're not going to live the blessed life. Because we're not aware. If we're not aware of what God's Word says, if we're not into what God's Word says on a regular basis, this is why the church is so feeble. Because the church doesn't know the Word. Now, I'm not talking about just the written word. Because the church doesn't really read the written word like we should. Can I tell you something? We don't know the Word. I'm not talking about written now. I'm talking about the second person of the Trinity. The Word of God. The Word that became flesh, according to God's Word. It became flesh. He became a man just like you and me. The only way we're going to know God is to read what He says. The only way we're going to know that we live a blessed life is to know the promises of God, even in bad times. It's easy to say I'm blessed when my company's making $400,000 a year and it only costs me $50,000 to be in business. It's easy to say I am blessed. But the overcomer, for someone to live an overcoming lifestyle, there must be something to overcome. And when God says that we're overcomers, He's given us something that's going to probably be needed in our lives to be overcome, and just the same as He did Job. And Job rose to the level of success where God restored everything multi times over because Job passed the test of trusting God. I'm going to wrap this service up with this story. I alluded to it anyway a couple weeks ago. One of the greatest men I've ever met, Jim Ohl, on the worst day of his life, Jim and Polly Ohl, found out their daughter had been murdered. You remember the story? I told it just not long ago. I want you to know, and you know what I'm about to say. Many of you have heard the story before. On their worst day, when their baby had been murdered by her husband, he comes to First Assembly of God in St. Charles. He comes into that office, and he kneels before that desk, and he raises his hands, and he said, "Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord giveth." Then he quotes Job. He quotes Job. He says, "Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." I'm talking less than 20 minutes, because the police station's not more than 10 minutes from the offices of that church. That was my home church at the time. And I've known the Ohls for 30 years approximately. On his worst day, can I just tell you something? On Brother Ohl, this is what we always called him, Jim Ohl, Jim and Polly Ohl. He'd sit by me, whether it was in a board meeting or when I was on the pastoral staff. He'd look over at me and he'd smile and he'd grin. This is the man whose daughter was murdered. And then years later, their other oldest daughter, Wanda, died of brain cancer. Their oldest daughter then died of brain cancer. Their youngest baby was murdered. Their oldest daughter, Wanda, died of brain cancer. And this is what Jim Ohl would look at me with tears in his eyes, because the wounds were real. He would say with tears in his eyes, "Brother, I am blessed. How about you? I am blessed." And I want you to know something. I couldn't say I wasn't. When I'm looking at a brother that's going through Job-like kind of things, don't get mad at me because I compared him to Job. Somebody got mad at me one time because I compared him to Enoch. And I was, what I was doing is comparing their lives together. And somebody said, you know, you can't compare. And that's just not true. I wasn't talking about how they left this world. I was talking about how they lived in this world. And Jim and Polly Ohl, Jim Ohl was that man that walked with God. And on his worst day, he would look at me right in the eyeballs across the table at a board meeting or at any kind of a meeting, at a Parents of Murdered Children meeting. They'd look right at me and he'd kind of giggle. He had the sweetest giggle. He started giggling at himself because he was giggling. And he would look at me. He said, brother, with tears in his eyes, I am blessed. How about you? Oh, Lord God. So I'm going to wrap this up. On your worst day, I want you to remember this. On your worst day, wake up, roll out of bed, and simply declare, I am blessed. On your worst day of fear about going somewhere because you're afraid perhaps of COVID-19. I know people that have had to overcome that. I know people that said, I will not be locked in my home any longer. I will use precaution. I will use good judgment on how I do this. Just like when you get in an automobile, you put that seatbelt on and you stop at every red light and you slow down at every yellow light and you go at every green light because green is just as important as red because you want to make sure you're going when you're supposed to be going and the group that's not supposed to be going on red stops. Everybody follows precautionary rules of any good judgment. If they're using any good judgment, they use precautionary rules. And they abide as safely as possible within the flow. I want you to wake up every morning. More than importantly, God wants you. God's plan for you is to overcome, not to be succumbing to fear. Grab that. Now I'm going to wrap this up. God's plan for you is to overcome the fear, not succumb to the fear. So I would invite you, if you don't go to St. Charles River Church, I'm going to still invite you this way. This next Sunday, if you're a person that is out of fear, I'm not talking about real health conditions. Hear me. I'm not talking about real health conditions where your doctor has said, this is what I want you to do. You follow the instructions of your doctor. Has everybody heard that? Because I got witnesses in the building that have heard me say that. And yet there are going to be people that don't think that I believe that. You follow the instruction of your doctor. Jesus even taught that. When Jesus healed the lepers, he told them to go to the priest so that they will verify your healing before you're allowed to go back into the community. Because Jesus used doctors to verify things. So just so you know, I'm saying follow the instruction of your doctor. But if it's just fear that's holding you back, this Sunday, roll out of bed, go to your home church, whatever your home church is, and stop believing that online is the way you do church. You do church by going and connecting with people, loving on people relationally. And you don't hug them. I get that. I get that. If you don't shake hands, I get that. Use precaution. But understand something. Going and connecting with people again. Look at somebody right in the eyeballs and say, I may not be able to see your smile, but I see your eyes. And brother or sister or friend or whoever it is, it's so good to see you again. And I want you to know something. Your spirit will come alive. You will begin to overcome because you took steps of overcoming before you felt comfortable. Really, when Peter got out of the boat and kept his eyes on Jesus and he took his eyes off Jesus, he began to sink. Why? Because he started focusing on that he was uncomfortable. Don't focus on what your discomfort is. Get out of the boat and start keeping your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on the Master and walk towards Him with full faith. Full faith. Start walking towards Him with faith. And wherever, whatever church you go to, whatever church family you go there full of faith next Sunday. You go there with full of faith next Sunday and you look that fear in the eye and you say, I am blessed. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you that you'll take these words. Lord, if the words offend, Lord, you know that's not where my heart is. I want to deliver the word of the Lord for people to set them free. You came in, your word says, he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And Lord, I know that that is your plan to set people free of fear. Set people free of this frozen state of perhaps COVID-19 or whatever their fear is. Whatever, perhaps, even if it's a phobia of some kind. Your desire is to set them free so that they are truly free indeed. Bless them, I pray. Bring freedom to the church of Jesus Christ for us to realize that we are a blessed people. in the name of Jesus. Every believer said, amen. God bless you. Thank you for joining us today. You are amazing. If you've survived to the end of this, to the end of this teaching, I commend you in the name of the Lord. You're already an overcomer and you are living the blessed life. By the way, this week, get into God's Word. Don't wait till I see you next Sunday morning at 10:30. And before I leave you, let me just say there's going to be a slide that comes up right after I leave the broadcast. There's going to be a slide and it's going to share with you our partners, those of you that we trust in, believe in, and partner with here at SCRC. It's going to show you how you can give your tithes and your offerings. Faithfulness to the Lord is that persevering, that pushing through. Together, we do this together and we just believe in you. We believe and we rely on you, the faithfulness and the good-hearted, generous people of St. Charles River Church. And those of you perhaps that are even not in our area, we just believe in you. And when the Lord tells you to do something, you do it. So you can find a way to support these ministries here at SCRC, St. Charles River Church. Watch the slide. You can give online with Give Plus, or you can mail a check to the church offices. The address is there. It is a correct address. We're going to give you a new address in the next few weeks. Of where we'll be moving our offices. But God is blessing, and I know that you'll want to be a blessing as well. So thank you with all of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week. See you next Sunday at 10:30.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.